I liked your singing last week, Dad.
Oh, thanks, Raji.
Yeah, that was good.
You know, do you have a favorite cartoon song you'd like me to sing?
Yeah, Quick Draw McGrogan.
Really? You want to hear that again?
Yeah.
Yippee-ki-yo-ki-yay, galloping round your way, here comes Quick Draw McGraw, the highfalutinest, fastest shootinest cowboy you ever saw. Quick Draw McGraw.
Nice, Dad.
Wow. My son appreciates something I do.
I do.
I'm kind of choked up. Hi, it's Paul Dini.
This is Misty Lee. We're crying and singing cartoon songs.
Rashi said he likes my singing.
He does.
Well, okay, that's good. You know, usually, very early on when he just arrived at the house, I would try and sing him to sleep, and I would get as far as, you know, and good night, and lullaby, and good night, and then an alarm clock would whistle from my head.
Mm-hmm. Now he's pretty impatient.
Yeah, so I guess if he likes cartoon theme songs, that's something we both can enjoy.
Yes.
All right, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Great.
We should ask our guests the same question. It's week two with Liz and Jimmy.
That's right. From the wilds of Las Vegas. Who? The great Bizarro is among us again.
He is. Right. Darren would be so pleased.
Yeah.
Darren
Morgan.
Yeah. Last week, if you listened or didn't, Paul was telling a story about the writer's room at Tower Prep and how huge a fan Darren Morgan was of Bizarro's.
Well, just my name.
Of his name, yeah.
He was going to say, he doesn't know who the hell I am.
Yeah. He may now.
Yeah, well, that's true.
It's too bad that show only did one season because it would have been...
you could have had him on.
Yeah. Bizarro was the seventh person. There you know. We know that the seventh person was Bizarro.
I sadly...
As of this moment.
I actually wish I knew what the fuck you were talking about.
Oh, it was a mystery. We left the kids hanging on a mystery. And they all said, who was the seventh person? The mysterious seventh person. It was Bizarro.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's dun, apocryphal. Dun, dun.
That's apocryphal. Just made up this moment.
You let the kids down.
Yeah, well, that's what I do.
Again.
Yeah. So it seems like forever since I've seen you.
I know, yeah. Right? How have you guys been?
I have had a question since last week.
What was it?
It's been bugging me. Why exactly at your fireplace do you have a statue that looks like your dog's that looks like the pig behind it just took its temperature?
Because that's kind of what those animals do. They kind of chase each other around and act friendly with each other.
Elephants
that's not
and pugs?
A friendly look, though. That is a somebody just took my temperature look.
Yeah, I didn't notice that before. That dog has always had a look of surprise on his face. But then that's sort of natural with the breed. You know, the Boston Terrier. I always say they look like, you know, tiny little waiters that just came running out of a bus accident. You know, their eyes are wide open. Their tuxedos are slightly askew. And it's like, what is it? I'm here. And
everybody
he's got that
okay?
expression.
I think I'm okay. Are you okay? I'm okay.
Excuse me, sir. Do you need your arm or leg clean?
There you go, yes.
Was this an S&M bus? Because they're all wearing collars.
Yeah, of course it's an S&M bus. S&M this is our house, Liz.
This is our house, yeah.
Apparently all the doms died.
Yes.
So if all their...
We just saved
all their mistresses died. How sad. All these sad little people with no one to beat them. I hope they find good homes.
They and just got to get married.
We're off to a roaring start.
Speaking of which, congratulations on your engagement again, Ezra.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that now.
You're on a deadline.
Excuse me. Everybody's eating pizza. Week old pizza.
My family's going to have a family reunion in July.
Yeah.
And if they're listening to the show, they're probably thinking, Paul's not coming, is he?
Yeah, they'll be excited to see you. You bring the life to the party.
Bring something.
You put the art in party.
Okay.
The arty in party.
I don't put the part in the like everybody wants to depart as soon as I show up.
You don't turn it into a D party.
A D party. No.
Oh, secrets.
I had a good time at my mom's last week.
Yeah?
Two weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. I took her to see Quartet.
Yeah? What's that?
It's a movie directed by Dustin Hoffman about aging opera singers at a home for aging opera singers.
I cannot imagine a worse film in
that
my
sounds
life.
Like some, that sounds like one of those like best of show Mighty Wind kind of concepts.
It does. Yeah. But it almost, yes, it does. You know, this man, when we are going to bed at night, he gets mad because I like to watch Family Guy and stuff as I'm going to sleep. Because it's just what's on Cartoon Network
sure,
at the time
yes.
I'm going to sleep. And he goes, last thing I want to hear before I go to bed is Seth MacFarlane's voice. Shut it off.
Yes, so the last thing I want to listen to is a man who's going to make more money in cartoons in about 45 minutes than I will in my whole career.
Would you like a sour grape?
Hello, Paul. It's me, Stewie. I thought I'd check in and see what the poor cartoonists are doing tonight. Why, we're laughing at you. That's what we're doing. Yes.
Yeah, no, Paul, I feel your pain. There's plenty of magicians who I look at and go, you don't deserve to be working. You suck. No, I'm not saying
that. I mean, I know, you know, Seth MacFarlane, you know, has worked very hard for his money
and
from everything.
What I've heard, is a very nice guy.
That's what I hear. I don't know him, but I've enjoyed a lot of his cartoons and I like them very much. However, I just, you know, come on, man, move aside. You know, let me up there. I'd be happy for a quarter of what you're making. I just want one show on TV.
May I point out, please, that when they were talking about nerds on the Nerd Show, his name didn't come up. Oh, it was comics, not cartoons, yeah. But still.
Yeah. Well,
see?
Okay.
He looks faintly Canadian.
Who, what's Seth MacFarlane?
Yeah. He looks faintly Canadian.
How do you look faintly Canadian?
Well,
look
a
Canadian.
Name like MacFarlane, you just conjures up images of Mounties.
But now.
Mac, you know.
That was good.
But now. You were mistaken for a Mountie before. How
shut
you
up.
Tell
just, no, we're not going
to
talk about that.
I would like to hear this. So when were you
it was,
mistaken?
No,
for?
It wasn't mistaken. She's
you're a magic mountain. Mountie.
Well, magically mountain.
If I don't lose some weight, I'll be a magic mountain. People can ride through me. No, I don't know. No, I was at a sideshow gathering. You know AJ, right?
The mm-hmm. carnival guy?
Carney AJ, yeah.
Y-E-J-A-Y-E,
yes,
for
yes.
those of you who are wondering how to take a look at this guy on the
yeah.
internet.
He was the MC for this sideshow gathering, and we hadn't met yet, and I'm setting up, and I wear a red fedora and a red shirt, black tie, black pants. So he turns around and goes, our next act appears to be a Mountie. And I laughed. It was funny. I was like, yeah, that's what I get for dressing like this, you bastard.
He's pretty funny.
Oh, no, yeah. We've been fast friends ever since. He's a nice guy. We like to chit-chat whenever we're around.
I have met him and met him and met him and met him.
Yes,
and met
yes.
Him and met him and met him.
Yes.
And every time, it's the first time, he's like a fish with a castle. Oh, hello. It's delightful to meet
whoa,
you.
Whoa, blue rocks.
Every time.
Yeah.
And I love him and I never forget him. You know, like I blessed him once when
Liz,
he sneezed.
Liz likes him.
Yeah, does he remember you?
No.
Yeah. But well, that makes me feel better.
Amazing Jonathan took 9 or 10 times before I remembered who I was.
Well, he just had to meet you so. Got that.
Well, Darwin can't remember who I am until I open my mouth. I have convinced.
I don't know who Darwin is.
Darwin runs
Gary
the
Darwin.
Magic Club in Las Vegas.
Magician.
But man likes to talk. He's...
He knows every bad joke from the 50s in magic.
He's got the Robert Orban book in his back pocket.
He wrote that book, I bet.
I thought Robert Orban wrote that book, but okay.
Jokes. And then what are your 3 best lines for this?
Give me your 3 best lines for diarrhea. What?
I have convinced this man I am a complete fucking idiot. Like, I make him explain every single joke to me. So Gary no longer tells me jokes.
Nice.
I am the only safe individual in the Wednesday night meetings.
Nice.
Well,
so you're spared of 2 things now, because based on last week, you love to make people uncomfortable when they ask you when you're having children, and you say no because you spontaneously cry and so you can't have children, and you had that because
no,
of the sex change.
No, I haven't actually tried that yet.
Oh, do it. Please
normally
do
it's
it.
Just looking at somebody and going, no.
F you.
They can fill in their own reasons. No.
To be fair, though, thankfully, most of our close friends don't want kids either, so we don't have to have that conversation a lot.
Yeah, it's no problem here. I don't want you bringing them here.
I don't want to share my toys.
Not me neither.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Yeah, no, weird.
I like it when people bring their kids over and they start breaking your toys, and you say, please put that down. The parents look at you like, it's my kid, and he's breaking a toy. What the hell's your problem? I mean, you know, toys are there to be broken.
It's weird, though. When we were visiting my parents this Christmas, my little brother, who in my head, still my little brother, and his wife came over and gave my parents a book, because apparently they're going to be parents this year. And I'm like, well, hell, I guess I have to look at my little brother as a grown-up now if he's already having kids. I mean, the guy's...
How old is your little brother?
He's 25 now.
He's still a baby.
But I'm like, This is weird. There's going to be another generation in my family. I don't think that was supposed to happen.
But we'll see if it gets born.
Yeah. There's sometimes the universe goes, nope.
I'm glad my sister had kids and that your brother had some kids. I love your brother's kids.
Well, my brother's kids are adults now.
Well, yeah, they're adults. And then he's got a sister who has a son. And he is just awesome. He's hilarious and he's brilliant. And he's just wonderful.
Just turned 11.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He's hilarious.
I'm glad they're having kids because I looked at my mom and went, I'm off the hook.
My sister had four. I ain't never got to do nothing.
Your sister's an overachiever.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about kids and ovens. No, wait, sorry. No, it's
not
different.
Yes, I don't know. Broiled does work slightly better than baked.
Yeah, gravy's the best, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, has anybody seen that movie yet?
No.
I can't imagine it's good.
Yeah, well, you know what? The little girl up the street liked it.
Oh, well, good for her.
Yeah, so that's...
But I bet she also likes SpongeBob, so what are you going to do?
I like SpongeBob.
Yeah, well...
I love you anyway, Misty.
Mm-hmm.
With that movie, though, I'm not sure I can actually watch it, because I watched the trailer and went, okay, these two are supposed to be siblings, yeah? Why don't their accents match?
Right.
Apparently, they were separated at birth, got together, and went, let's hunt witches.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I looked at the trailer, I went, they already did this movie. It was called Brothers Grimm.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I don't think they could do a Brothers Grimm round two since one of the brothers is dead.
Oh,
that's true. Was it one of them Heath Ledger?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, sequels for all those movies are out the window.
Yeah. That's specifically Grimm if they did.
Brothers Grimm and depressing.
Yeah. So are there any magicians that you do like and why?
Oh, sure. There's plenty of magicians I like.
We like Justin Flom. He's awesome.
We like Justin Flom.
Justin Flom's not. Yeah, I like him as a person and a magician, which is rare. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people. The cool thing about living in Vegas for me was getting able to work with and or meet the magicians I liked. You know, who I can't say necessarily influenced me, but who showed me the way, if you will.
And who were they?
Well, I'm getting to that.
All right.
Patience.
Calm down, Oprah. Jesus.
This is
were you offended by Oprah or me saying Jesus?
Neither. I was actually going to say I took that. I took a branding workshop here in LA because actors were desperate to find out who we are. You got to brand yourself so casting directors know who and what you are. And one of the things
because casting directors are retards.
No, not necessarily. They just have to move fast and they need to know exactly who you are.
Right.
So one of the things that kept coming up was Oprah is suddenly white one day for me. I got that from every single person in that class.
Misty Lee starring in The Color Purple.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that. It was the, I don't know. It's, anyway, sir.
Okay, so, Rudy Kobe, Sylvester the Jester, Penn and Teller, Amazing Jonathan. These are all the guys I watched growing up, and I went, okay, so magic doesn't have to be boxes and bitches. It can be, magic doesn't have to be the focus. It can be the tool that gets your point across.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the guys who I grew up going, yes, this makes sense to me.
Also characters.
Not all of them, no. Not necessarily. Rudy and Sylvester are characters. Kind of. Well, Sylvester is definitely
Amazing
a character.
Amazing Jonathan is also a character.
No, because he's like that off stage.
I get it, but he's a character.
Well, yes,
he's much more of a character than someone who pulls doves.
No, absolutely.
That's because have no character or personality.
Right.
Well, that's
in my creativity lecture, I talk about how we use the word character too much in magic, right? And I'm pretty sure Liz could just do this because she's heard me do it in lectures enough. But I talk about, I came up with other classifications like persona and style. Mm-hmm. And like guys like Amazing Jonathan and guys like Copperfield are still themselves, but they have a certain way of doing things. They have their own special way of presenting things. And there's guys like Kevin James, who also I like, and Jeff McBride, guys whose material who is like different and interesting. I like. They have they're almost a character, but almost
it's like a heightened version of themselves.
Kind of, yeah. And so they have what I call a persona.
Okay,
They have a style and a character. They meet in the middle. And if anything, I would say I'd have a persona, even though I'm technically myself. I'm just an extremely amped up version of myself on stage because I'm doing a silent version of myself, And so it's like but people are always like, "What's your character?" And it's like, I don't have one. I'm me. Bite me. I don't want to be anybody else. I'm awesome.
You are.
That's why I thought it was funny with the origin story thing.
Well, can I ask a question about the echelons of performers in Las Vegas?
Sure.
I want to ask a question about ventriloquists. Now, are they
ostracized by magicians? Are they looked upon as friends and allies, or are they just treated as the unclean?
I don't know any.
The unclean.
The unclean.
I have a potential answer.
Okay.
The professional ventriloquists exist outside. It's a separate group. It's
they're technically more because more stand-up comics than they are magic.
It's a
oh, really? Okay.
Full of fish, and they don't swim around with the magicians.
Yeah. Oh, really? That's interesting. Okay.
But you also have marionettists, too, out in Vegas, like Scott Land and a couple other guys.
All right.
However,
yeah.
There are a couple of magicians who unfortunately try and do ventriloquist
oh,
act.
It's so bad.
It is the most horrific, uncomfortable, dirty old man you will ever see. Oh, they are ostracized for a reason.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah,
these are the hobbyists and semi-pros I was talking about last
these
week.
These are men you look at and you don't wonder if they have dead bodies in the basement. It's just, how many.
Exactly.
Creepy. Okay.
So I just want to say a joke real quick that I learned last in Texas. And I have just on that note.
All right.
What kind of shoes do pedophiles wear?
What kind?
White Vans.
Oh.
Wow. Sorry. Anyway, right. No. Ventriloquists, I know the only two of them I would even know about who come out to, who are in Vegas are the dude from America's Got Talent.
Vader.
Yeah, Terry Fader, and then you've got Jeff Dunham, who come out and perform sometimes. But these are guys who are, again, above
Jeff
my...
Jeff tours, though, right?
Yeah, these guys are above my pay scale, so yeah. I don't hang out with them. We don't have any ventriloquists who are just doing things. And Vegas is not where ventriloquists go. Ventriloquists do comedy clubs and state fairs.
Okay, all right. I just wondered
and
what...
And some of them go to Branson and...
Yeah, well, yeah, if you want to be a clean one, yeah. Mm-hmm. You got guys like Otto and George who've been around since the 80s who just do the most dirty stuff possible. But I believe that any puppetry exists in its own thing, but ventriloquists are more stand-up comedy than anything.
I mean, I just wondered if, like, you know, like four or five magicians will get together and go, like, let's get Terry Fader in the parking lot of, you know, the Tropicana.
Oh, I would just
let's wait for him and they beat him up.
I would do that just because he's a shitty performer. Has nothing to do with his puppetry skills. I don't think he's a good entertainer at all, period. So that's just me.
I've never seen him before.
I wanted to go to his show once because we were in Vegas and had some time, but we ran out of time.
I saw him on video briefly and went, this is terrible. I mean... Yeah, good for you. You can sing when your mouth is mostly closed, but who cares? You're not. I don't believe that puppet's alive. You're not even looking at it like it's alive. He stares forward the whole time, and that's why. I mean, I like Dunham because for a while you're like, "Oh, right, that's a puppet. Sorry, I forgot."
Mm-hmm. Ron Lucas, though.
Yeah,
he's good.
Yeah, Ron Lucas is good.
Ron Lucas is good.
I've seen him
and Dunham. I like and there are a couple of others, but those are the only two, the only three that I know offhand. I know there
a friend of mine out in near Austin named Ian Varela is pretty good. He's been around for a long time, done a lot of TV shows. He did like the Smothers Brothers back in, you know, when I was still around and stuff.
Oh, okay, sure.
But he's a guy. Basically, Terry Fader is a lot like my friend Ian. He was a worker. He was doing corporates. He was doing private gigs. Everything. Yeah. He just happened to. Get his ass in the right place at the right time and whatnot. So, and his success kind of made America's Got Talent change their contracts. That's why they own you for 10 years if you make it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so they own a piece of all that, huh?
Yeah, because originally it was, you get to do a bit in a show in Vegas. You get to be on the Vegas Strip, and it was like a bit part for a week in some crap other show. Well, somebody saw him and said, hey, you should do your own thing over here. And they got none of that. Mm-hmm. None of that money. And they were like, okay, we can't let that happen again.
Yeah.
The contracts now, they own your ass.
Yeah. Well, here's
what's... We signed those when... And you actually were on America's Got Talent.
Third season. This was before all that went down. Really, well, it was right after that, but it gets... Every year they learn from their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting because Terry Fader uses a lot of puppets made by... Axtell, you know, Steve Axtell's puppets.
Yeah.
And I know that I looked into getting one of my characters made as a puppet because I really like their puppetry.
Well,
and everything.
Axtell's is just latex faces on, you know, on cloth or, you know, furry bodies.
Yeah, but still, to get them to do the sculpting of one of my characters, I would have had to have deeded the rights to him or shared the rights or else paid him a buttload of money to get an exclusive, which I wasn't opposed to doing in theory.
Right.
But then I saw Terry came out and just used all his puppets in his show, and it's like, he must have to cut, you know, Axtell in on some of that.
No, because once you buy them...
Well, no, because I was watching a documentary where he designs them and sculpts them. He's got a 3D printer now.
No, that's Dunham.
Which one?
Dunham has a 3D... We're talking about Fader.
Oh.
No, Dunham just sculpts and designs his own.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that special is awesome, watching that 3D printer.
Oh, really? Yeah, 3D printers are fabulous things. That I have a vacuum form machine, and that's great. But yeah.
I like the vacuum form machine, too. I used to work with them in dentistry.
Yeah, that's what I have. I have a small dental vacuum former, because... Yep.
You were actually the first time, because I use... In my seance, the way that I accomplish one of my effects is with a dental tool.
Yeah.
You know which one it is.
I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting, because you were the very first one. You were like, hey, do you guys have dental dams?
No, I had alginate.
Yeah, but also dental dams. Yes. Because you said there's a thing that you can do.
There's all sorts of stuff you can do with it.
Right, but you said, I specifically need gray.
Yes.
And I went up to the front desk and I said, Megan, can we order some gray dental dam material? And she goes, yeah, for like $12. And I said, how many do you get? And she was like, 250 or something. And I said, yeah, go ahead and do that. Huh. And you were like, yeah, go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was interesting, because I never really thought to look around me and just get creative.
Oh, yeah. No, for special effects, alginate is used all the time for stuff.
Well, they overcharge dentists for that stuff. Oh,
of course,
so,
but they overcharge for special effects guys, too, quite frankly. Actually,
is there a cheap place to get it?
I don't know, but I think dentists get it cheaper than we do.
Really?
Yeah. But you guys also get it in little tiny pouches where guy performers buy in giant buckets.
Yeah.
Makeup guys.
Yeah.
But actually, most of them use a lot of silicone now, too. I mean, that's the thing. It's like Dragon Skin and all these, Cal 30 or Cal 30? Something like that.
What are you talking about?
Sorry, I'm going off. I'm talking about my hobby, special effects makeup. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but what's Cal 30? What is that?
That's the wrong thing. Gel 10. That's what I'm thinking of. Gel 10. What Cal 30. Ultra. I was getting Ultra Cal plaster mixed up in my head. Pun. And Gel 10.
No one got that joke but you. We're all waiting for you to come back down to our planet.
No, I'm sorry.
I got it too, but that's because I listen to him a lot.
Gel 10 is a type of silicone stuff. So, yeah.
Okay.
Smooth-On is a company who makes all this fantastic stuff for that. And you can get like 2-part foam that you can make foam props. My friend Randy Rain makes all sorts of crazy foam props that are really cool. And it's a nice skill to have. It's good to know about in my lecture that I was talking about last week, is learn about the world around you. It's amazing what outside of magic can help you.
that you can bring into magic from other places. Right.
Yeah. People who are good, but people who have carved out their own niche are people who have looked outside of magic and done things either personal to them or used skill sets that nobody else has or nobody else is aware of.
Well, that's what I say about writing, especially writing superhero stuff, is like I try and say, you know, don't just because you wrote on this show doesn't mean necessarily you're going to write on, you know, as well on another show, especially if all you're writing is the same old, you know, action adventure type stuff. I've been lucky to work with a number of good writers, but I'm astounded that how many comparatively just don't draw on their personal experience or trauma or either their own or somebody else's or just human, you know, human experience to bring something else to their characters. And I'm sort of amazed by that, because, you know, you look at animation movies, things like Pixar and things and DreamWorks movies, they're always trying to broaden the characterizations and stuff. Yeah. So when I deal with something that's really flat,
that was one reason I started picking up Marine DC, because I was never because they actually gave their villains some depth. It's like, oh, they have brothers and sisters and family problems. That's cool to explore.
Did you see that they just recently gave Wonder Woman a new brother?
No. I don't read Wonder Woman.
Do you know who Wesley Willis is?
The old black
cut
guy.
The mullet?
Yeah.
Suck a camel's booty hole?
Yeah, I remember him.
That's Wonder Woman's brother.
Really?
Swear.
That's so funny.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
They gave her a guy. I don't remember what they're calling him. What's his? I don't remember what they called him. But he's a direct, an exact likeness of Wesley Willis.
That's funny.
The guy of whom I have the painting.
Oh, yeah.
That sings, cut the mullet. That guy.
Oh, wow.
That's Wonder Woman's brother. Depth.
Yeah,
I have not kept up on the new.
Well, no, the current DC stuff is terrible compared to. I was like, wow, way to go, guys, way to drop that ball. It's not just somebody going, well, I like these characters and you've changed them, get off my lawn. It's not that. I mean, it really is. A lot of it is filler with no substance.
I can't comment on it because they stopped sending me the books. And once I was off contract, it was sort of like, you're not on the comp list anymore. And I did pick up a few things here and there just to see
characters like Batman and Zatanna and Harley, like the ones I used to write, were faring, and, you know, varying degrees of success.
Well, they've decided to, they almost changed her origin in this new universe, and I went, what are you doing?
Whose origin?
Harley's. They, like, made her bleached all of a sudden, like, Joker threw her in and I went, well, that's dumb.
Yeah. Well, look, the kid's still working, you know, and that's all I care. Like, she wasn't retconned out of existence.
That's true. That would, well, nobody would have stood for that.
No.
However, all the fans are like, why is she dressed like a juggalette?
Yeah. Although she just killed Lois Lane, and I have some problems with that.
Well, Lois Lane will be back.
Well, they're doing a video game called, what is it called? Gods Among Us or something like that.
Gods Among Us, yeah.
And they've been doing a tie-in, like what I did with Arkham City, where I did a prequel book. So they have Joker and Harley kidnapping Lois, sticking a bomb in her body. Superman hallucinates. He thinks it's Doomsday. Throws her into space. And the last minute he realizes it's Lois and their unborn baby. And she blows up. And Metropolis blows up. So Superman runs right off and kills the Joker first thing. And Green Arrow has to take Harley and put her in a safe house. It's like, at that point, I don't want to see Harley go to a safe house. I want to see her get her ass kicked into the next galaxy by Superman as being an accomplice. Even I don't like her anymore. Even though the comic book where it was like Green... Did I say Green Lantern? I meant Green Arrow. Right. It's Green Arrow.
I think you said Green Arrow.
Okay, yeah. Green Arrow and Harley. And actually, their byplay was rather charming.
Yeah, it was. I was impressed with that. I just saw that panel.
Yeah. And I thought, that's cute. And it made me want to get the rest of the series. So I go, oh, I missed this one. So I got all the issues, and then I'm hoping to read something kind of cute. And that was cute. And then it's like Luther putting a bomb in Lois and killing Jimmy on the spot and everything like that. And I'm going like...
But this is like an alternate universe kind of thing.
It's like, you know...
Setting up a Mortal Kombat kind of video game where, like, they have to have a reason to fight each other.
Yeah.
Okay, well, they didn't do that with DC versus Mortal Kombat, did they? I mean, they wouldn't even allow the superheroes to do anything like bloody or violent than combat video game. No. Speaking of video games,
yeah.
I read something, and I hope this was just a bullshit miscommunication that the next Batman style game is going to be like Golden Age, like Joker. Ha ha! I'm pulling wacky crimes. It's all going to be cell shaded and all that stuff. Have you heard?
I don't know anything about it.
I don't know if you've heard it, because I'm sitting there going, oh, that's so bad. Why would you take something that works and just trash it like that? I mean, some people are like, no, I can see that working. I'm like, no, that's not what we like.
Well, here's the thing about that. I'll be frank about this.
Why don't you be Paul?
Okay, I'll be Paul about it. When I was doing right when they were going to release Arkham City, I was doing some promotion for it, and I asked the guys at Warner Interactive, you know, so we've got a second game under our belt. Is there going to be a third one? You know, it seemed like a natural question to ask. And they said, they weren't really sure what they were doing, but they kind of came back kind of apologetic, and they said, you know, we're not really going to go, we're not sure what we're going to do, but we pretty don't, we're not looking at outside writers anymore. Right. So, you know, and I'm going like, I'm an outside writer. I was like, yeah, we're not going to do outside freelancer writers anymore. Right. So it's like, okay. You know, so.
I just think it's retarded.
But anyway, you know, so it's like, okay, all right. So, but, you know, we got two out. That's fine. And then I didn't hear anything about it for a year. And then it was like they during Comic-Con last year, I heard it announced. They made an announcement they were going to do like a Silver Age version. So
right. This is not coming from me.
I'm only repeating from what I've read in things here and there. Yes. And then there was another announcement made this week from one of the heads of Warner Brothers.
They're really going to do that. Okay.
No, there's another Arkham style game coming out this year. But whether or not it's that one from that looks like Silver Age style or whether the characters are all funny animals, I don't know. I really don't know.
Wow, that would just be bad.
It could be the Captain Carrot universe for as much as I know. And that's not a hint, but it is not. It's just...
Just put the Flaming Carrot in there. I'd be happy. That'd be hilarious.
Well, yeah, that would be good. Captain Carrot versus the Flaming Carrot would be a great, Mortal Kombat type battle.
Who's the Flaming Carrot?
There's a character by Bob Burden, an underground artist.
Bob Bergen? Porky Pig?
Bob Burden.
Oh.
Mystery Man.
Yeah,
He wore like a white shirt, green pants. He had flippers, weird green flippers, and a giant carrot mask that was on fire.
Yeah,
instead of a stem, his stem was fire.
Yeah,
Okay. It was like the era of Too Much Coffee Man and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Weird crap that was coming out.
What was that, like late 80s, early 90s?
And Sam and Max.
Milk and Cheese. Yeah. Why is there not a Milk and Cheese movie?
I have no idea.
I mean, that was like, you know, a lot of people...
The Tick, that era.
There was going to be a movie called Food Fight, and it was... They ripped off Milk and Cheese's logline. It was Food Gone Bad.
Oh, really?
And Milk and Cheese's Dairy Products Gone Bad. And Evan Dorkin should... Well, actually, the movie never came out, or it squeaked out some, you know, really repulsive...
Liz is like, I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
But Milk and Cheese... Do you know Milk and Cheese?
She didn't... She's not a comic
book person. I wasn't allowed to watch television as a kid. Oh, as a comic book. Or read comics, or...
Evan Dorkin's a cartoonist friend of mine. He lives in Staten Island, and he came.
Duckman.
He came up with one night at dinner. He was just sketching, you know, a wedge of cheese and a carton of milk, and it's like Milk and Cheese, Dairy Products Gone Bad. And what they do is they sit around drinking all the time, and they launch into fits of rage, where they jump up and they pick a victim at random. Like they'll see something on TV, they get them pissed off, and they just go attack and beat their target senseless, or in some cases to death. And they're Milk and Cheese, you know, a wedge of spite and a carton of hatred.
Yeah,
they're really funny.
Well, it's like that era that, like, that's when you got like a lot of the bizarre, like even Dark Horse characters, like the original Mask. He was just a bastard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a lot of these, like the original Men in Black guys, were like, they were ghost hunters. They weren't even aliens. It was all like demons and stuff, and it was dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, wow. It's like all that...
The Crow.
That great era of just weird comics that were coming
out.
Well,
The Crow was as dark a movie as it was as a comic.
Well, yeah, for different reasons.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something interesting. I met James O'Barr because he now lives down in Texas.
Right? Yeah, that's what I heard.
And I was talking to him down there, because he's always up at Free Comic Book Day, we have out there. He said, yeah, I came from, I think he's from Detroit, yeah? Yeah, I think it's where he's from.
Okay.
He said, I was coming from Detroit on my way to Seattle, and I stopped over in Texas. I went, whoa, back up.
That's kind of a roundabout way to get there.
He said, you're on your way to Seattle from Detroit, and you stopped over in Texas, and you decided this was better? I went, yeah, he's like Carrollton or something like that outside of Dallas. And he was like, yeah, nobody's shooting at you. There's no, you can walk on the street late at night and not worry about getting mugged. It's kind of nice here. So I stayed, and I went, yes, but you're on your way to Seattle. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's like a V when it should have been an I.
Yeah. I missed that turn in Nebraska, so I'll just keep going south.
Right. I don't want to go through Idaho. Screw this. I'm going to take the long way.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was, I'm going to go see friends. Like, you know, I'm sure. Why not? I never got the full details, but I just, in my head, I'm like, what?
I love it.
Oh, the dog is snoring.
I told you, and we'll leave it in.
Muggsy's snoring away.
Oh, no, he's up now.
I like Texas.
You got performance anxiety.
Huh?
I like Texas.
I'm a fan. I like being from there. I like being from North Texas. I can't say I'd probably be like, woohoo, I'm from El Paso. But
Austin's good.
Yeah, if you're a hippie, sure.
Yeah.
What part of Texas specifically did you grow up in?
I grew up 30 minutes outside of Dallas. In a little town called Ovilla.
Ovilla?
Is it near Decatur?
Yeah.
Is it near Decatur?
Or Denton?
Probably about an hour.
No, Denton. It's like an hour and a half south from Denton.
Oh, okay.
Denton is 30 minutes south of Dallas, or north of Dallas. Ovilla is 30 minutes south of Dallas. Ovilla. O-V-I-L-L-A.
Okay.
Yeah, but I grew up there, and then I moved into Dallas when I was like 19. So I always tell people I lived in the country, but I grew up in the city because we were always in Dallas, constantly.
Mm.
When she moved to Texas, she was in Tarrant County, Grapevine area, so she was more that side of the town. Which is about 40 minutes from Dallas.
My uncle lives in Houston over Braeswood area. Mm. And my cousin lives in Dallas, and I don't know exactly where. But, someplace downtown. Well, okay, yeah, Snoozeville, Dallas.
Yes. It's funny to me how many people... I've met people when I was working out at Six Flags doing my pirate character out there. There were people who were like, I've never been to Dallas. And I'm like, how old are you? 21. You've never been to Dallas. It's right there.
Yeah.
How have you never been to Dallas? It's just weird to me because I went everywhere. I mean, like, I went all over the DFW area, even as a kid. But my parents are crazy hippies. So.
Mm.
But, you know, I've traveled around the U.S., not everywhere, but I've been a number of places. And Texas is not a bad place compared to, like, New England.
Oh, you don't like New England?
There are parts of New England that are just horrible to me.
Like Blair Witch Country, stuff like that?
No, more like, you know, big, like Philadelphia I wasn't impressed by, and New York, like the state itself was a little whacked up. You know, the people there were just rude, period. Not even in the city, but
really?
The state itself.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were going to kill somebody in Atlantic City.
Yeah, Atlantic City wasn't a good time.
Oh, okay.
That was, I came back, I was doing a week's worth of shows out there. I came back and almost gave up magic. It was so bad.
Wow. The people were bad?
The whole experience.
Wow. I'm sorry.
It was one of those things where I just went, if this is what my career is going to be like, I'm going to pursue something else. It was a very bad week.
You just kept calling me up and yelling.
Aww.
Yeah, it was a bad
I week. Love New York. I mean,
see,
you know.
Well, but you're talking about the city or the whole the state. People.
Well, I don't know the whole state. I only know Manhattan.
Right.
I know select parts of Long Island, and I know
so the city. Yeah.
I know up to Tarrytown, Sleepy Hollow. So.
Yeah. No. I was traveling with a sideshow working these little fairs and festivals. Like we were in Syracuse and Hamburg, and people were just they would bitch about $1 entry fee to see a show. They were
really
like, yeah. I'm like, what is up with you people? They're trying to haggle us down. I'm like, shut up and go in or go away.
Mm-hmm. See, I have this weird image of New England, like outside of New York, upstate New York, Connecticut, you know, parts of New Hampshire, as being like out of a Norman Rockwell painting. Like
well, okay.
Old Sturbridge and everything like
there,
that.
I've been to Connecticut and there was nice people up there too. Yeah. Okay. I think I wouldn't say all of New England is bad because I haven't been to all of New
well,
England.
Well, Boston's terrible.
Well, that's what sure. I heard.
Yeah.
I've never been to Boston.
Boston.
It's wicked pizza.
Wicked pizza. Yeah. We're doing an episode. Oh, it's next week.
It is.
Spider-Man gets fed up with New York and goes to Boston. And everybody's going, wicked pizza. Well, we couldn't say pisser, but it's yeah. it's the episode's called Spider-Man. And and it's like, wicked, Spider-Man's now a superhero. And
wow.
And
I did like watching Ted for that fact, just them making fun of Boston, and talking about the Boston girls and stuff. It was actually very amusing.
He runs into a villain called Salem's Witch, played by...
Is it still played by me? Yeah. I never know. You know, like, because you do stuff in the booth. And
well,
then...
I actually haven't seen the finished episode. But...
Yes, you see, you can't say.
But I saw the
because they'll change stuff on you last minute sometimes.
It was all in there. So anyway.
I just read something on the internet last night about how the third Aladdin sequel.
Yeah.
All the vocals were done by Castaneda, however you say his last name. And then Robert Williams said, I'll do it again. And they just scrapped all of Castaneda's stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Abe Sapien in the first Hellboy was done by the
yes, David Hyde Pierce.
No, it's done by the physical performer.
Oh, right, and then they redubbed
him. They bought David Hyde Pierce on. And
right,
like we need a little more proper. We need a name.
Yeah,
and then they let him do it for the second movie.
Gotcha.
Got him in the cartoons.
Yes.
Oh, we all know what they did with Darth Vader too.
Mm. Yeah, Darth. I remember
that
hearing...
poor guy. He was like, "I played Darth Vader," and then it's. He's just in the costume.
You wore a bucket on your head for three movies.
Yeah. You know who was going to play C-3PO?
You.
No.
Who?
Lucas's first choice, like his only choice for C-3PO, was Stan Freeberg.
Oh, wow.
Cause,
really?
No, because they wanted him to be like, R2-D2, look at us on this planet, you know. My joints are frozen. They wanted to do like his chairman
like
of...
Seth MacFarlane?
What?
They wanted to sound like Seth
MacFarlane. No, he was trying to do like his chairman of the board voice, like... Bocce, why, it's like a second language to me. I was trained... Well, load lifters, very similar to your evaporators. Anthony Daniels talked him into it. He said, no, C-3PO is a car salesman. He is a used car salesman who is constantly selling himself. Who is, you know...
Now, who's Anthony Daniels? I don't know who that is.
He was the guy in the suit, the British actor who played him. And he said, don't you think it would be better if he was very proper and more like a butler? And George said, no, I want Freebird. No, no. And then finally he came back. You know, that wouldn't be bad because... 3PO's movements are very precise. And once he got through the idea, it's like...
Does Stan know that, I wonder? We should tell him.
Oh, wait, he knows it.
Oh, he does?
I think he does know it. I don't know if he actually recorded stuff or if Lucas contracted him or if he did a scratch track, but...
Boy, Stan Freeberg. I love him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've worked with him a couple times.
You know what would have been funny? Like if he had done his Pete Puma voice. Well, see, I am very proficient in bocce. It's like a second language to me.
A lot of Jawas.
No, I'm pretty sure if they brought him back.
Disgusting creatures, these Jawas.
No, I'm pretty sure if they brought C-3PO back for the Star Wars Abomination series, that's what they would have done.
Well, you know what? He's a droid. He can talk. He, you know, just...
That's true,
He was voice setting, you know, go from distinguished to...
To not
use my magic, sir. I couldn't possibly.
I heard. Speaking of Star Wars, I heard tale on the internet that Harrison Ford is officially in the next.
He one signed up for the next
I
one.
I also heard that J.J. Abrams is going to be the new Pope in the Catholic Church.
No. I got my application in first.
Oh, great!
I sent an 8x10 and a resume.
Well, I heard you got a red card on yours.
What, really?
No.
Oh.
They'd be
Pope,
lucky to
Pope
have
Dini.
Pope Dini. Pope Dini. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you would look great in that hat.
Or the Pope Mobile. Well, you know, the thing is, I go back and forth.
Oh, speaking of which, the glove compartment came out of the Jeep, so I just threw it in the back seat.
Oh, I noticed that. I thought, my first thought was, oh my God, we got burglared. Someone ripped out. And then I looked, no, the radio's still here.
No.
Unfortunately, because I hate that radio. And then, oh God, I hate that. Okay, put that down. Komodo Dragon, Kathy Griffin, car radio in my rogues gallery.
Yeah, and it's and a the nice Joker radio. It's a Kenwood, it's like a really high-end Kenwood thing, but it's so high-end we can't set the clock.
Yeah.
Would you like me to try? I'm really good with that.
Okay.
Okay, it can't be done. It does it just to frustrate us.
Oh, no, I bet
it's some Twilight Zone piece of hell-possessed machinery.
Then also, that makes you the radio's hunchman.
And henchman?
No, hunchman.
Hunchman?
Because you have a hunchman, how to fix it.
Oh. Like hunchman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm hunchman. The hunchman. You mean the huntsman? Oh. No, I have a...
Do you know what? Hunchman? Hunchman, segue, munchkin. Ruth went to dinner with, I can't remember his name, but there are three last living munchkins from The Wizard of Oz.
No, there's not.
Excuse me?
There are two taxidermy ones and a wax. Okay, continue. Sorry.
I don't even want to tell you.
Don't touch
no,
it.
No, are there evil?
She told me that she saw Max Maven at Musso and Frank's. And she said, I said, did you go up and talk to him? She said, yes, of course. And she said, I was there for so-and-so day. And I said, she was having dinner with the guy who presented Dorothy with the lollipop from the Lollipop Guild.
Oh, him.
Him.
Yeah.
He's still alive. And I said, make it happen, waits. Make it happen. I want to go to dinner with the lollipop munchkin. Make it happen. And I said, make it happen before he dies. And she goes, oh, he was in very good health. And I said, make it happen.
A lot of people are in really good health and then they die.
Yeah, that's Shorty McHobbit.
That is not his name.
Wow.
That is not his name. This is the offensive podcast series.
See, at this point, if he was here, he'd be like, I'm not happy. And you'd look at him and go, well, which one are you?
Oh.
Yes. So Misty, I just ruined your chances. Sorry.
Mm. I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen to these anyway.
He can't reach
the dial.
He's probably
the one guy that does. He can't reach the dial. Then he couldn't.
They have a stick with a piece of gum. Of course, he can turn the dial.
Then he couldn't set our clock radio.
No, well, apparently nobody can. Don't worry, I'll save you.
I hope so.
If Firefly hears this, she's gonna kick your shins.
That's true. She will. We're friends with the tiniest sideshow performer in the world. She's like 27 inches tall.
You want to take one of my chairs home for her?
She would use it.
Yeah, she actually would.
Yeah, she'd love it.
Okay. She's how many inches tall?
27 and 20, a half.
That's very wee.
She's teeny tiny. And she'll crawl right up you and bite your nose off if you piss her off. She's vicious.
All right.
Well, the little ones are always badgers.
Oh, yeah.
She's a little honey badger.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, she is.
Mm-hmm.
She don't give a...
Oh, now you're going to be sorry? Now you're sorry for all the people you offended? It's been like 3 hours of
it. It's all in good fun.
Now there's a specific one that he knows he might have offended.
Yeah, now the heart turns.
Oh, no. She wouldn't be offended. She'd laugh.
Oh, okay.
While she hit you.
Right. She'd be like, ha ha. Right in the beanbag. Yes. Yeah, all she gotta do is get you in the ground and she kicks the shit out of you.
Some of the best.
I did a straitjacket escape, a wrestling match with her, and it was great. She pinned me and everything. It was hilarious.
Wow.
How did that work out? Like, how do you do wrestle with a straitjacket?
Well, it was a race, but she's she trips me, and I'm trying to knock her over, and at the end, I think she tripped me, and what happened.
I got on top of you and straddled you.
Yeah, she climbed on top of me and started slapping me in the face. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time with that.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
I think my favorite bar fights I've seen are between Firefly and Sen Bodhi in the Double Down.
Yeah. I think I love that you have favorite bar fights that you've seen. I have
quote-unquote bar fights.
I have never seen a bar fight in my life.
These are
And you rank them.
Most of the bar fights at Double Down end really fast.
Yeah. What's Double Down?
Punk
the
rock
best
bar
ever
Vegas.
That we're dragging you to if you ever make it out.
Yeah, when are you going to come out to Vegas and visit us? Jeez,
I want to come out because I want to go to Big Dig.
What?
Big Dig?
What?
Oh my gosh.
Is that thing where you rent to get to
that's fuck Boston, around man, with the dick.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I want to go to there.
It would be so much more fun if we just go to a construction site, hotwire one of them, and play around.
I agree, but this is legitimate. I want a crane. And Big Dig is a giant sandbox with construction equipment, which they let you drive. And I want to go to there. I want to go to there.
This is in Vegas?
Yes,
it is. I want to hide a mannequin.
I've never heard about that.
Liz has. She knew exactly what I was talking about. And she's over it.
How have I not heard about this?
And have you also been to the KISS Blacklight
mini golf course? I knew somebody who worked there. I played mini golf there many times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I talk about the best bar fight I ever saw?
Yes.
In a minute. Hold on.
So, I only saw the tail end of it. Okay.
So in a minute, we'll go back to the bar fight. So there's places we take everybody when they come to Vegas. One of them is the Pinball Hall of Fame, where you get to play pinball from all over the years. Okay.
Whoa.
You've got the Erotic, I know, right? You've got the Erotic Heritage Museum, which is a free speech sex museum. Really good place. Then you've got Frankie's Tiki Room, which is an entire, I heard it was designed by the people who did the Enchanted Tiki Room at Disney. And they have hand-carved tikis in there from artists, and they have all sorts of fruity, crazy drinks. Yum. It's super chill, and it's really nice. And then the same people who own that own Double Down Saloon, where they do punk rock bingo once a month, where you basically play bingo with a bunch of punkers and whatnots, and you don't want to win even though you still play.
It is the only game you are terrified when you have only one more circle. Because if you get it wrong and you call false bingo, you're getting strapped into a diaper by this Viking chick who could easily kick your ass.
And if you come out, they would love Princess Magic there.
Okay. It is a holiday weekend, you know.
Love Princess Magic.
We're not going this weekend.
It's a holiday weekend.
Well, it's only the first
they're
Wednesday.
They're here right now. Yes. It doesn't make sense.
First weekend of every month.
We'll trade you. You guys come to Drag Queen Bingo with me at Hamburger
Mary's. We have Drag Queen Bingo out there, too.
Oh, of course you do. You're in Vegas. Oh, my God. Yeah.
But Punk Rock Bingo is so much better.
Yeah, it is.
They put you in a diaper?
If you call false bingo.
Can you call false bingo on purpose? Because I would
we have people who do.
And then the DJ plays a punishment song that everybody
else has to listen
to.
For the whole bar. and then the real prizes tend to be bags. Like at one point when we were emptying the glue bottles for the non-toxic trick, we had bottles of glue.
Mm-hmm.
Like 2 gallon bottles.
She had, and so she would give those as prizes. Like Liz would put them in 20-ounce bottles and label it Hawk in a Bottle as Mohawk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Give it to people. She has kits, like she has the instant douchebag kit where she goes to Savers and thrift stores and just buys the craziest crap she can find.
Wow.
And then Deja Vu Sex Toy Emporium will donate stuff. So there's like sex toys and lube and all sorts of stuff.
And that's what you win if you get a real bingo?
Yes, all sorts of crazy cool stuff.
Okay.
But she's going to make you work for your prize.
And then there's sideshow performers, and I've done magic there. I mean, they have performers come in and the burlesque dancers, all sorts of stuff. It's a fun time.
It is the epitome of a dive bar, though.
Yeah.
It is.
But it's an awesome place. Awesome. Yeah. Mm. So, Paul, bar fight.
Oh,
At what point did you guys start running the podcast? It's awesome. I love it. It's just like, yes, you handle it. I'm digging it.
It was in London about 12 years ago.
Now, the bar fight is not when you saw the mom smash the Jiminy Cricket sucker on her son's.
No, that was an act of abuse I saw at Disneyland. That was amazing, though. That was just like the best parental punch I've ever seen.
No, what, Disney?
Well,
is that what you said?
Years ago, I went to Disneyland with my cousins.
Okay.
And this was in 69. They had just opened the Haunted Mansion. It was the week they opened the Haunted Mansion.
Nice.
And we went on the Haunted Mansion ride. It was a great time. But I had a lot of cousins. I had my brother and sister with me.
All named Tony Jimmy.
Yeah, and a bunch of other kids. And I didn't want to wait for anybody, you know, and I had a ticket book, and I made it a point to get lost. And I spent the whole day by myself.
Did you say ticket book?
Yeah. All right. Was way back when.
I just want to make sure I heard that correctly.
Way back when. And I remember getting off the steamboat ride, because I had gone on the steamboat ride by myself. Mm. Enjoyed the hell of it. And I look over, there's a mother pulling her squalling kid onto the steamboat ride. And the kid is just like digging his heels in. And the kid's maybe 4 or 5 years old, being dragged along. And the mother has an all-day sucker. You know, one of those rainbow suckers, wrapped up in cellophane with a big smiling Jiminy Cricket head on it. Like, hi, kids. And
I'm creepy.
and the mother just had enough of the kid. And she went, just stop it. And she hit the kid as hard as she could with the sucker. It was like a big all-day sucker.
Wow.
And the kid... knocked out. The kid just sagged. His neck went at a crazy angle. Holy crap. The lollipop was splintered inside the cellophane. And the mother just dragged the kid on the boat. You know,
it's not really a bar fight, but yeah, that sounds pretty bad.
That was pretty good. And I'm going like, kid, are you... I just got out of there. And I thought, maybe I should find my parents.
Wow. I love you, Mommy.
Yeah. Wow. Although my mom did have to drag me off the safari boats later that day.
She off, not on.
Yeah, that's right. But the best bar fight I saw was about maybe 14 years. It was whenever we did the Superman book.
You and
with Alex Ross. Yeah, the very first of the big books we did some years back. We went to London to sell it on QVC London. We had a deal with QVC London to sell it on the air. But we're also talking on the BBC about the series of superhero books we're doing. And it was Christmas time, and it was about... It was really close to Christmas, like about a week before Christmas. And everybody, maybe 10 days, but everybody was having their holiday party that weekend. And London is really big on Christmas. For one thing, they don't say the holidays over there, lumped a couple of them together. It is just Christmas.
Yeah.
And it is a big deal. We were there the night everybody was out partying. And the city was so packed, we walked for miles before we got cabs. You know, we were actually kind of getting pissed off. You know, where's the cab coming? It's freezing cold. It's snowing. And there were drunken revelers everywhere. Finally, we found a cab, Alex and myself. And he was staying at one part of the city, and I'm with his folks. His folks were there visiting on the same trip. So dropped him over at his hotel. I was staying over at the Hilton because, you know, I sort of wanted to pay for the trip myself, and I liked the Hilton. There's a Trader Vic's there.
Ah.
And I love going to the bar in a Trader Vic's in London and going there, especially during wintertime, and drinking hot drinks. It's just like a long tradition I've had. So I head over there to basically have a drink and go home, and I get, the cab pulls up, and there are these two women going at it on the...
And by going at it, you don't mean in a good way.
No, I mean full closed fist punches. And they are slamming at each other. And as the car is pulling in, I hear the most raw, rude, you know.
Yeah, right.
And all the choice words, you know, spat with, you know, English, you know, real venomous English accents. And there was a blonde in a shimmery gold dress who looked like an angry version of Tinkerbell. And there was a taller redhead in a furry sweater and leather pants. And they are just like, going at each other, just like whacking each other. And I think Tinkerbell's going to get killed because the leather pants girl is just going at her. No, Tink, you know, comes back with a twister punch and just lays the redhead down, smashes her. Her head goes like this. She goes down, hits the ground. And Tink is just standing over leather pants going like, you... Inappropriate response. And screaming at her. And until she's red in the face.
Right.
And the redhead's not moving. And I've gotten out of the car and paid. And the cab driver's kind of going, whoa, look at that.
Crikey.
Yeah.
That's
Australian. Shut up, I know.
But the weird thing was that both women had dates. And they were standing so far away, they were like, terrified, you know, it was like animals watching some bizarre mating ritual, or, you know, rivals competing. And the blonde is just screeching and screaming and kicking the other girl to get up. And I had no way to get to Trader Vic's. You know, here's the lobby here. Trader Vic's is here, and I have to go downstairs. I had to kind of edge around the leather pants girl and kind of come dangerously close to Tinkerbell and go duck down the stairs. And as I go down the stairs, I can still hear her screaming at her. And I go downstairs, and there's a Chinese gentleman who's a maitre d', and I said, you may want to send somebody up there. There are two women having a fight up there. And he said, oh, they start down here, and they already fought their way up the stairs there. They finish up there then. And it was like they had started in the bar.
Oh, yeah.
And they were still talking about it in the bar, and they had just been ripping into each other, and I got there to see the KO. So it wasn't technically a bar fight because I didn't see it in... I saw more of the aftermath.
Close enough, though.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, no, I've seen a few fights break out in bars, but nothing that didn't get broken up by security fast.
Yeah.
Because I worked in the nightclub. I did magic in the nightclub scene in Dallas, and I saw some saw some stupid shit happen, but you could almost always tell it's about to happen, especially with the really drunk guys. You're sitting there going, and I'd see guys doing stuff. I'd go over to security and go, you might want to watch that dude. He looks like he's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And they usually were, and the security was just standing waiting to
pounce.
You know, because I didn't want to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But we were in Liège, Belgium when I was out on my lecture tour, and I'm walking around to get some food, and out of nowhere, for some reason, this one guy, this older gentleman, who I guess had been mouthing off to another dude. Now, they're all speaking French. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
Because Liège is so close to France. Guy's yelling, this other dude just starts punching this old dude in the head, and the other guy just hit him with a cane. He turns around and starts punching him again. I'm like, what is going on? We're driving the next night. We're driving out to my my lecture.
No, the lecture had just finished.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And we're in the car with the magician.
The person showing
us around.
Yeah.
And we're going to a restaurant to eat and over back by the hotel. And this fight between two guys goes into the street in front of the car. He just stops. We're waiting. These two are wailing on each other with this girl chasing behind, screaming at them. It stays in the street for a little bit. They're just going at each other. They get to the other side. She's had enough of it. Picks up one of the signs in front of restaurants and just takes it to the guy. The guy is on the ground. The other guy is now pulling her off. It was like she had decided that they were done. They had started it. She was finishing it and it was going to be done. Guy turns around, looks at us and goes, "We have good cocaine here." His explanation.
No, he said cocaine is legal here and the good stuff comes from across the border. It was something like that, and I went, good to know. If I did drugs, I would say hook a brother up, but no.
Yeah,
I'm reminded of Bill Cosby's thing. It's like, well, what happens if, why do you do cocaine? Well, it intensifies your personality. What if you're already an asshole? You know, it's like, wow, no.
And this is the last city on this month and a half insane tour. We're flying back home tomorrow, and it's like, well,
at least we got to see a fight. There we go.
I think Europe is done.
You went out with a bang and a pow.
Yeah.
One of Batman signs, you know.
You're right.
Bang,
pow,
bang,
pow, blow.
Yeah.
No, blow started the whole thing.
Yeah, blow, pow, bang, bip. Yeah.
One of the scariest fight incidents, and it's more of an assault than a fight. Happened to Damon Lindelof. He told me this story once when we were working on Lost. And
Bill to Lemon thing you watched?
No.
I'm just
that
teasing.
Was magic.
Damon Lindelof was so impressed because he saw someone do a Bill to Lemon.
I don't know if I'm getting the story exactly right, but as I recall,
he just start throwing in shit that didn't happen.
Well, it was like he was out to dinner with a friend or some friends. I think he was just had met a friend for dinner, and it was in New York. And they're going somewhere, and they run into some guy on the street, and words are exchanged, sort of like. You know, I don't know what it was, but basically the guy said something aggressive. Damon countered with kind of a snarky joke. It kind of left it at that, and then went over and they sat, and he and his friend sat down at an outdoor cafe or something to eat dinner. And his friend looks over Damon's shoulder, freaks out, and apparently what's happened is the guy they exchanged word with is now running down the street carrying a cinder block, and he throws it at Damon and knocks him out and just smashes him to the ground with it. And I said to him, "My God, how are you alive?" And he said, "Well, I went to the hospital.
I watched a lot of cartoons when I was little."
I don't know. He somehow, you know, and to me, that's just horrifying that you would actually sit down, like, you know, okay, you have a little words with somebody and you go one way, but the guy would actually pick up a cinder block or a brick or whatever it was and just come running after him and clobber him with it like
friend,
that.
Friend of mine had a sort of similar experience. He was he was shooting a band in a rock club. And and then some friend of his ex-girlfriend's came in and started being uppity with him. My friend is not prone to putting up, you know, he's not good with confrontation. So he said snarky things and got security. He started giving problems. So he got security to get the guy out because he shouldn't have been in there anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says something snarky, like my friend is prone to do. The guy picks up the fucking change money box and just whips it at my friend. And my friend had a nice little, like Harry Potter scar now right here where he got nailed by the money box. And he's like, well, pay attention next time. Yeah, good idea. There's somebody told me, you know, it's weird how you can just cross somebody and some people will just take it personally. there's a magician I know. I won't mention his name because he may not want me to, you know. I mean, he told me, but I don't know how free he is with this story. Mm-hmm. But he used to be a little bit, when he was a younger individual, he worked comedy clubs. He would be more, he was just a mean bastard, apparently. Yeah. By his own admission. I wasn't there. He said he had a heckler and he just tore this guy a new one. He just shut him down in the most, you know, as mean as he could be because the audience loved it. He's like, oh, whatever. This guy apparently didn't cotton too kindly to it. So he burned his house down. Followed him home, found out where he lived, and lit his house on fire.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
They catch him?
Yes, yes. And apparently he got out of jail like this is the last year or so, and I'm like, woo-hoo-hoo. Uh-oh. Hope you don't hold grudges.
Is your homeowner's insurance still good?
Right. But man, there are some crazy a-holes in this town. Yeah. Not this town, well, in this town, but in this world.
In this world, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like you never know what one little thing is going to spark something like a fire.
Yeah.
Excuse the pun.
I would see fight.
Misty, you ever get in any fights? You seem like the kind of broad who'd mouth off to a girl who'd want to kick your ass.
No. I have never been in a fight in my life. Yeah. Some girl came up behind me in junior high school. Well, two things. One girl was giving me grief when I was in middle school. Before it was
those kind of fights don't count. I'm talking about real stuff. I mean,
no, so am I.
Okay.
But when I was in middle school, I was different. You know, I was the only girl in the school. That
I've seen those photos of you, your yearbook photos.
My choir chimes, the Cure pictures.
The giant, the Coke bottle lenses.
Well, that was elementary school.
Oh, okay.
But in junior high, I had a bet with a girlfriend. I was babysitting all summer long, and I was working 40-hour weeks at 13. And so I have not a lot, but a little bit of extra money. And I would go to the Goodwill. And she said, let's go back in September and be total punkers. And it was like, it wasn't a big thing, you know, so nobody was doing that. It was just she had seen it somewhere and thought it would be fun to shift what we looked like, you know. So we went back and I totally committed, as I am wont to do. You know, I mean, those of you who have seen my seance dress and costume and stuff know that I fully commit. I should be committed. So I dyed my hair purple. I wore black lipstick. I painted my face white. I did the whole thing and nobody was doing that yet. Nobody. And so I went back to school.
Where did she see it from? Where she got the idea?
I don't know. Some band, MTV. Or... I have no idea. Yeah, a book, a magazine. Who can say? But... I remember taking Ricky Rocket from Poison's picture in and saying, cut my hair like this.
Nice.
Yeah, I know, right? Wow. That's bold. So anyway, and I had that haircut, but it was purple black, you know? So, and I had black
lipstick. You were Susie and the Banshees at that point.
I totally was. Mm-hmm. But the only one in school. And so I was a target.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, you made yourself a target.
Well, yeah, but I didn't, you know, like I didn't know it, yeah. Well, I also didn't care. Yeah. And it was really interesting because... This one girl was picking on me a terribly large amount, and I said, okay, if you'd like to take care of this, let's meet on a street corner and let's do this. And I was wearing hardware, like chains from the hardware store around my waist for belts at this point, because that was what I had adopted as my fashion. And so I'm standing on the corner and this girl doesn't show up, and I'm waiting and I'm getting angrier, and now I'm angry that she's not showing up. Because it took me a lot of balls to show up.
Right.
And so I took the chain off my waist and I was swinging it and I was waiting. And my best friend Laura at the time pulled me aside and she said, you will kill her if you hit her with that. And I said, I know. And she said, no. And the vice principal pulled up with a hyperventilating other girl in the van and said, get in here. Is that a weapon? And I said, yes. And we're not on school grounds. And he took me home, and he gave me to my mother, and he said, you know, your daughter was almost in a fight, and she said, is she hurt? And he said, no, almost. And my mom said, well, then, what are you here for? You know? But that was, there was that. And then later that same year, that girl made friends with another girl who, on the way home, on our last day of school, everybody used to get shaving cream. I don't know if you guys ever did this, and shaving cream each other. It was just like a giant shaving cream fight.
No.
And within a 3-mile radius, you could not find a can of Colgate or Barbasol to save your butt because it was just gone. And the last week before school, everybody would buy it all up. So I'm walking home from school alone, and I think I was probably back to dressing normal. This would have been the next year at this time. And
are there any photos of you in said punker outfits anywhere?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I want to see them.
I'll show them to you.
I got a few.
Awesome.
That's right. My dad found my 8th grade student ID and gave it to him. He was like, there's something I really want you to have.
Well, you saw the photo I posted when I was out of my parents' house.
It was epic.
Oh, man.
So on the way home from school one day, these girls came up behind me and they were known as the tough girls in the school. And one of them came up and put shaving cream on either side of my face. But it was not atypical. I mean, like it could have been anybody. And I just kept walking. I was just like, ugh, You know, because I knew I was outnumbered if they did pick a fight, but they didn't. That's all they did. You know, like it was like just a little bit from the back, and it didn't even hurt. It wasn't even like a slap. It was just like, what are you doing? And I was so close to home, I just turned left and went home. And the next day around school was I had had my ass kicked by this girl. And I was just like, that was, what? But there was like no one there to see it. You know what I mean? Like nothing happened. And so that's as close as I've ever been to an actual fight.
Yeah, I got in a few little dust-ups when I was in middle school, and my, you know, in middle school and high school. Too. But it was nothing. I've never been in a, I was like, I have to defend myself or I'm going to get my ass handed to me kind of thing. It was more like, Never had to. I like how you pointed to him, though.
No, I'm pointing to him because he's writing a story about one right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't in a fight. I was in a full-on attack.
Oh. What's the difference? I mean...
I was walking home, and then two guys attacked me, beat me almost to death, and pulled out a gun.
When was this? This was
20 years ago.
Oh, okay.
But I'm writing a story about it now. So.
Yay, therapy.
What? Yeah. Well, it's kind of what it is. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's a... I don't know. In high school, I got in a couple of fights, more or less because I had to in order to shut people up. Mm-hmm. You know, like because guys were teasing me, and I'm going like, "I'm a big guy. I'm bigger than he is. I'm tired of listening to him." And besides, he's stunned.
Fezzik, tear his arms off.
You know, the thing was like, a couple of the dopers, you know, would single me out. Like they would come, they'd bust into my room, and I was not a party guy. But the guys who were out smoking weed would come. For a while, I was sharing a room with them. They come in and it's like, "Hey, Dean, go over here and kick your ass." And they come over.
That's really convincing.
And then they come over, they punch me up. I think we're like football players.
They wiped shaving cream on your face.
And then one night, one of them came in alone. So it's weird. Like, "Danny, we don't look like a fight that. I'm fucking kick your ass." And I'm going like,
"They didn't even. They all spoke like Muppets."
Yeah, they were all kind of like, you know, well, big stone Muppets.
That's hilarious. And personas.
Oh, so Jimmy they were like Meet the Feebles then.
Yeah, and he comes over, "I'm gonna fucking kick your ass." And then it's like, he's moving real slow. Bam. And without even really thinking about it, I put my fist in his nose, and he was just sat down and goes, "What'd you do that for?" And then I hit him a couple more times. And it's like,
just
it's
because, like, I could.
It's like, because you're stoned and I'm not. And hey, I got an advantage over you. And he's like, and then the house warden came over, you know.
The house warden?
Well, the faculty advisor, you know, and came over and goes, "What? How did it start?" And it's like, he called me a name and I punched him and I'm sorry. And then he kind of sniffing around, he goes, "Is that all that was going on in here?" And it's like, yeah, that's all that's going on in here. And then I got called to the dean of students' office the next day, who wanted to find out more about it. But he was less concerned about me hitting the guy
because
this was a guy who was on his shit list to get kicked out. And it's sort of like, was he, you know, he was asking me about drugs. And I said, "Look, the guy's just been teasing me, ragging on me. I'm not going to, you know," and that's what prompted it, you know. And he goes, "Okay, well, don't do it again." But he really wanted me to say,
"Oh, yeah."
You know, and I wasn't going to squeal on him.
He thought
for that.
You were going to be the guy to do it because you were, because he knew that this guy was a
provocateur. I'm not going to squeal on anybody and get anybody thrown out of school. Yeah. You know, because
this
I don't need to.
This podcast is going to take a heavy turn. Himself.
What?
What?
This podcast is taking a heavy turn compared to last week.
Yes.
Well,
last week, really.
It's been a long week.
But other, you know, I.
2 weeks.
When I was in college and afterwards, just even to recently, you know. When I was in a bar and a fight broke out, it's always just got some guy shoving another guy around and just take what they drink and move away.
Oh, yeah. At our goth club, I actually, I was on the one, what probably the worst thing that ever happened there, I was on the patio for, I hear a smash and I feel like, I hear some broken glass hit next to me and I feel like splashed with something. I went, "Do you really have to throw your drinks in the trash can that hard?" I look and turn around like, ugh. Turns out, very angry lesbian was mad at her ex-girlfriend for dating and the dude she was dating, and he, smartass, she took a beer bottle across his neck, sliced his neck open, blood literally on the dance floor. And now he didn't die. He's got a gnarly awesome scar and a story to tell, but that girl, that was probably one of the worst things that ever, because it's a goth club, and what are you going to do, have a slap tickle fight? Come on, really. Mm-hmm. But that was probably the weirdest, worst things I ever saw when I was hanging out at a lot of bars and stuff. You never had got any kind of scrapes or anything, did you, honey?
No, I know there were some problems between me and
you got punched on your birthday.
But
What? Oh, she rolled her eyes at me.
No, I was never in any fights or anything. Yeah.
People are too afraid of her.
No. You know what? Girls' fights are verbal, though. Like, that's more what we do.
Well, I think it depends on, like, white girls. But I think, like, when you start getting into ethnicities, it starts gets hair pulling. You know, but, I mean, my friend was a doorman at the goth club. So, like, pulling girls out. He got stabbed in the arm with a nail file one time. Oh. She was like, and he was like, ah! I mean, girls can be vicious, but usually when they're on something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, mine wasn't even verbal fights. I didn't exist. I made a very good target. Not exist. I know my freshman year of high school, there were a number of bottles thrown at me out of cars.
What? Why?
I don't know. I don't. That's weird. I have no clue.
Because people are jerks.
Yeah. People wanted to make sure that you were properly hydrated.
They would chuck bottles at me, but that's about all I remember. I know when I went to the final high school I was in, I scared the hell out of the football team, like, the second day, and I really didn't have problems in that high school.
What did you do to scare them? Do you want to tell us?
I was sitting in the lunchroom off by myself, and for whatever reason, I had decided that week I wanted to learn to tie nooses. So I pulled my laces out of one of my combat boots and was just sitting there tying that. And, like, 5 or 6 of the football players came over to talk to me and find out New Girl, because I didn't come in. I came in like mid-semester or something. I don't remember, but it wasn't my freshman year. And I didn't want to talk to him. I had no interest in talking to people. I didn't want to fucking deal with him. So I'm tying a noose and just kind of mouth off at him and didn't want that. And it creeped him out. It didn't help. I went to an incredibly white school. Mm-hmm. So pretty much the only black guys in the school are over talking to me and I'm sitting there tying nooses. Mm-hmm. Mm. And it's Texas. It is. Yeah. A high money area of Texas, but that's not exactly something that makes people comfortable.
Yeah.
But I didn't exist through high school. Mm. I hung out with a bunch of druggies and fuck-ups, and I just didn't exist. Mm. Mm-hmm. I was known as so-and-so's girlfriend, and that was about it. Like, I think my 10-year high school reunion comes up this year. There's no way in hell I'm going. I still want to burn the building down.
I was out traveling with a sideshow. I refused to go to mine. I was like, no.
I was a homecoming queen in my high school, and I haven't been back to one of mine. It makes me feel bad. I mean, you know, they were really nice to me, and I'm just like, I really should go back. But it's one of those things, like, I've got 3 or 4 mm-hmm. really good friends that were my really good friends in high school, mm-hmm. and I liked everybody just fine. But I still talk to those people quite frequently. I mean, one of them actually posts, he's taken to... Fred, you know what? I'm going to call your ass out on my podcast because I know you don't listen to this. Stop posting freaky clowns on my Facebook wall. Stop it. I have enough freaky clowns in my real life. Stop it. He posted some creepy yellow-eyed clown going, and it says, like, sweet dreams, sugar, or something. And I was like, Fred, I wrote on it this morning. It was just this morning. It said, Fred, Jesus, just dot, dot, dot. Jesus. Yeah. It's just like, stop it.
Do you have a problem with clowns, Misty?
No, not really. Okay. But I have a problem with the ones that he keeps posting. I don't know where he finds them. And he's just like, I just wanted to make sure you saw this before bed. And I'm like, you know what? Why?
Way to go, Fred. It's taking heat off my teacups.
No, it's not. Keep doing it. It's just a new hell. It's just a fresher
Fred, I'm sending you a photo of the teacup. Please Photoshop it in with clowns.
Oh, clown? Why don't you just paint some clown makeup on one and send it my way? You know what? Why am I helping you? Why am I helping anybody with this?
It's ridiculous. I don't know, but I think I figured out how to make a Seance Misty teacup.
What, with a clown face?
No.
Well, now.
But they're the doll faces.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I made a big deal out of it. They were in my show last night, and I was like, let me show you a proper teacup.
You mean last week?
But, yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Last week. I was like, let me show you a proper teacup, Liz.
That was very funny.
That's the first of the Spider-Man
I know. I saw it on the table, and I wanted to bring it up.
That was my prize for giving Court a bag of unicorn poop.
You got a prize.
Yeah.
How nice for you.
It's yours. You can have it.
It came in Dior House, too.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why you adjusted, huh?
Oh! So I'm holding in my hand one of the very first pieces of Ultimate Spider-Man merchandise, our show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's been on the air for 2 years now. And
they finally made some toys.
They finally made a toy.
A lot of them. Court had a bunch of them on his
actually,
desk.
I'm kind of glad to see that they actually decided to wait before making, instead of making the toy before the damn thing came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of getting old for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they look good.
Yeah, it looks really good. It's really
fun. That's the crime-stopping Spider-Man.
It's crime-fighting
Frightened Spider-Man.
Crime fighting Spider-Man with, what's a, with an apostrophe.
What's the difference? I mean, that's redundant.
As opposed to the non-crime fighting right. Spider-Man.
One is during, and the non-crime
fighting yeah. Spider-Man just stands to one side while the burglar figure shoots the Uncle Ben figure.
Oh!
And then...
This is such a violent episode.
Have you seen... Oh, I love that. Like, somebody had made, like, fake packages for Uncle Ben and Aunt Beru is just charred skeletons.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that was
yeah.
So funny from Star Wars. That was so good.
I did see that. I remember that. Yeah,
I've seen a couple of really funny fake action figure things that were very clever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your? I owned a lot of toys and action figures growing up. What's one of your like favorite ones?
Would you look around my house, please?
Favorite?
No, I'm saying favorite. Like favorite. Ones that you're just like, I love this toy.
Oh, okay. I know what the answer to that is.
Well, there's Dino the Dinosaur.
That's what I was going to guess.
That was like my favorite toy as a kid. It was a mechanical Marx toy of Fred Flintstone riding around on Dino the Dinosaur's back. And I still have one. I mean, not the exact same one I got for Christmas, but I got that was long gone. But I got
a replacement one.
Yeah. But action figures, because, God, I was like...
George Doucette?
18, 19... No, that was a little later, but... I was 18 or 19 when the action figures really broke, right. You know? So it was kind of like, yeah, it was still cool to get. I liked Aurora models, you know? And
yeah,
I loved,
remember those. Yeah.
And I got like the whole Dr. Deadly set with Vampirella and Frankenstein and everything.
Did you ever
like
do any of the Rat Fink kind of?
Yeah, kits? Huge on Rat Fink. Rat Fink I loved. I loved the funny cars, especially there was one. I saw, actually, they brought it out again. It was a circus wagon with a dragon escaping out of the back. Nice. But I loved the monster kits and the ones from TV and superhero ones. But I remember being big into Migos when they came out.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked a lot of the Migos, and I didn't like some of them because some of them, like the Thing, I wanted a Thing with a molded Rocky body.
Right.
And it was a regular body
just
with
cloth
with a onesie on it.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. Yeah. And I couldn't figure out. They sculpted the head, but they just used, you know, like a chubby body.
Yeah.
But the one I really looked forward to getting was Conan. They came out with Amigo Conan, and I love Conan the Barbarian comics. I love the Robert E. Howard story. So I thought, you know, the Fantastic Four is nice, and I had all of them, and...
Johnny Blaze was the same thing as a onesie with fire print on it.
Yeah,
the Human Torch, you know, and then the Invisible Girl wasn't translucent or anything. She was just, again, you know, she could have been
a part of her clear at least.
Yeah, I think they took the Cheryl Ladd doll from Charlie's Angels and just put her in the Fantastic Four outfit. Because Mego did everybody. They did everybody on any show that had any sort of youth appeal, Dukes of Hazzard, Charlie's Angels, Planet of the Apes.
That's why I loved Toy Fair magazine had Twisted Mego Theater. Yeah, those were brilliant.
Oh, I love those. The lizard from Spider Man looks exactly like the Gorn from Star Trek.
Yes,
Jumanji.
Oh, it's popping my favorite moment ever.
Yes.
In Twisted Toy Fair was jumping out of the toilet at the party.
Yeah, there was a lot of like,
you saw that too.
Well, no, they used that with something else with the Punisher shooting somebody yelling Jumanji. They used that a few times. There was a lot of really funny like one-liners that came out of that I've used just for.
Now, was that Seth Green
stuff.
Too?
No, it was Matt Senrich who partnered up with Seth Green.
Well, a lot of the Toy Fair guys went to work on Robot Chicken.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the one with all the villains having a party and they're all partying, and then they see Psykill from GoBots coming up.
Yeah,
let me in, and it's like, shh, we're not home.
Yeah, when it became Twisted Toy Fair Theater, it wasn't as good. It's like when they had to work with Amigos only, it was really good.
Yeah, I remember when that's my favorite version of the Hulk. It was like the inarticulate Hulk, you know? Oh no, Iron Man drunk. What Hulk do? And Hulk and Doctor Doom going around a thrill ride together.
Yeah, those were very funny. That was a good time.
But I
What was your favorite toy when you were little?
I had damn near every bad 80s toy that there was. I had Dino Riders and Air Raiders and I had some stuff that people are like, they made toys of that? It's like Jason the Wheeled Warriors. I mean, I had all sorts of crazy shit. I'm big into dinosaurs, so I like the Dino Riders quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. I knew that. That's cool.
Yeah, I like dinosaurs. Mia, why is that funny?
Yeah, I like dinosaurs.
Like, totally.
He's a magician. He didn't grow up.
Yeah.
I know, but it was just very cute. Every once in a while I see somebody, you know, who's family to me, somebody who I've known for that I've known for a long time. Deanie does this often. Yeah. And I'm like, I just met 8-year-old you.
Right.
You know, like just for a minute because you were looking up and you were like, yeah, I like dinosaurs. And it was just wonderful. And that's it just delighted
me. I'm glad I could be here for that.
It was wonderful. So you had Dino Riders and what else? Because you like dinosaurs.
I was young enough to be part of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles craze too.
Oh, yeah.
I had all that crap.
Are you into the reboot?
No.
All right. Next.
Even though some of it is more faithful to the comic.
Well, I've heard.
Was originally created as a parody anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, okay. So here's something that I probably shouldn't talk about, but I'm gonna. So I actually got a chance to meet and play a game of pool with Kevin Eastman, right?
Uh-huh.
And my mother. The way this happened was there's a guy who used to set up at the Dallas Fantasy Fair convention, big comic book conventions in Dallas. And this guy named John Fishner, who's a sculptor, used to sculpt some incredible stuff. We used to have a handful of his artwork out at our house. And he knew, I think, Eastman was getting something done from him. Mm-hmm. So Fishner told my mom. My mom was like, ooh, I want to meet him, hang out with him, because my kid likes this stuff. This was right around the time the second movie was coming out, the second live-action film was coming out.
Okay.
This was before it came out. So...
song we're going out on.
I got to play a game of pool with him. Got to hang out with him and talk to him a little bit, and that was great for whatever age I was. But my mom, at some point, either before or after, they were all hanging out and got high with him.
Hilarious.
And I went, it all makes sense. Yeah. Holy. So they were talking about how they came up with the shredder in an interview on a TV show where they said that the guy had taken a cheese shredder, one of the four-sided ones, put it on his hand, was holding onto the handle and goes, man, wouldn't a villain like that, not with a cheese shredder, but with razors or something, be an awesome villain? I went, they were high as a fucking kite when they came up with that.
Yeah.
It all makes total sense. And anybody, I am going to go Bill Hicks on this. Anybody who says drugs have done bad things for people, then take all your art, all your music, all the great things that have been created and throw them away, because everybody who created that music and that art was super high. Totally stoned. There you go. So, yeah. But that was my touch with greatness, if you will, and just getting to play pool with that.
So, but if you could only grab one toy from your past and take it into your future,
something Transformers.
Which one? Do you know? Do you have a favorite?
Blur.
Okay.
That's the name of the. Yeah, okay. You know who?
I thought he was being a smart.
John Machida, the Micro Machines man, the guy who talks super fast. That was the voice of Blur.
That's funny. Yeah. There you go.
So that would probably be the one toy that I remember that I really wanted growing up, and I got it thankfully.
Nice.
Because I just liked that character, but I'm still like Transformers quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, even the original cartoon movie I still hold up is great.
You guys should go on the ride tomorrow.
I've been on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when I came up for my birthday back in August.
That's right.
Yeah, we went on it. It was the new movies. The first one I was okay with. The next two, no, leave me alone. Stop. Mm-hmm. Stop raping the corpse of my childhood.
I'm sorry. What was your favorite toy when you were little, Liz?
Books. I'm beginning to suspect that I was raised secretly in a commune.
Or a convent. Because,
none of my answers make any sort of sense. I don't remember a ton of toys growing up. I know I had a lot of books. And from what I understand, I was completely inseparable from a raccoon hand puppet.
Okay.
Nice.
What was its name?
I have no clue. I've only ever heard it referred to as the raccoon. At this point, its tail is half torn off. It has no nose, and it's missing one of its eyes.
I think I still have it.
I love that.
My mom gave me my hand puppet buffalo to bring back with me. Nobody believes it's a buffalo.
Oh no! Yeah, this thing.
Weird
this thing.
Abomination.
This thing is rough.
Its name is now Blur.
Well, no, it's just Buffalo. Apparently, I was not creative in the naming department. I secretly was a pirate as a child.
You are secretly a pirate now.
Yar.
You do wear bloomers, honey.
Yes.
Yeah, she makes and sews panties. Her own bloomers.
Your granny panties go down to your knees?
Love.
They go below.
Love it. I love it. Do they have ruffle and lace around them?
Yes.
Love it. Thank
She's
you.
She's got black and white striped ones she made.
That's straight up Mormon underpants.
Yeah. Well, every time. Well, I wear 15-yard belly dancing skirts, and I live in a windy city. Yeah. Unlike everybody else in Las Vegas, I have no interest in showing the world my ass. I'm not trying to scar the universe. So if the wind picks up, I would like
to. You know, I want you listeners at home to know that she is quite lovely. She's not representing herself as such, but she is a good-looking woman. Okay.
I'd do her.
I think you probably would. So I just want to make that perfectly clear that ain't nobody going to mind seeing this beautiful woman's ass.
I want to make it. I do want to make it known that most women have really low self-esteem of themselves because of assholes.
Are you talking about their assholes or people who because of them?
Because, well, maybe
I was like, I don't really know why.
That would be strange. No, I'm talking about because of the previous bad choices, usually.
Yeah.
I've worn ankle-length skirts, though, since, like, ninth grade. That's
true. You used to golf in them, you said.
Yes, I won golf tournaments wearing ankle-length skirts and combat boots.
I love you so much for that.
The golf course didn't like it, and neither did anybody that I beat. But
of course not.
When I found golfing trophies in her closet, I said, what the fuck is this?
Right.
But I also have
That's what Paul medals. Said when he found all my bones. He was like, who are these people? And I was like, just behave.
I also have medals yeah. for math competitions.
Math competitions yeah. and golfing. I love this.
I was the opposite a dork of that me. None of the other dorks wanted to hang out with. The
well,
chess club
but these are independent sports that you have trophies for.
I don't play well with others.
That's right, because you rise above.
No, I'm off in left field going, yeah.
But apparently you win at it, so there you go.
Oh, yeah. Now nobody else is competing.
I'm just glad I found her before anybody else did.
You know what? I'm glad you found her, too. Ezra, what was your favorite toy when you were little?
Well, in a similar vein, I was more of a GoBots fan. I don't know why.
I had GoBots, too.
I just
yep.
loved the GoBots. Yep. They're ridiculous and fun.
I like the Rock Lords.
Yes, those? Exactly, the yes. Rock Lords.
Everybody hated Everybody makes fun of GoBots. Nobody remembers Rock Lords. But you know what? I liked having toys that were transforming rocks.
Yeah.
What?
You just have them in the grass. You're like, look, just rocks. They'll fight and kill you now, though.
Totally true. Did you ever see the cartoon GoBots Battle of the Rock Lords?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Listen to that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I really miss, and Liz just rolls her eyes when I talk about the 80s, but it's like, it was for me, it was one of the last great creative decades. There was so much crazy, awesome, bizarre crap that came out before the world started to get serious.
Well, because there was so much cocaine and money.
Right? And then all those people who did the cocaine had kids and went, no, we don't want you doing that.
Oh, I thought they just moved to Belgium and got into street fights. Got hit with sandwich signs.
No, that was the kids of their kids.
Oh, right on, right yeah. on.
Oh, it's funny.
Awesome.
I think I just realized something.
Wait, Misty, you didn't answer the question yet.
Oh, I've said it on the podcast before. My favorite toy when I was little was a magical musical thing. And it was like this long stick with colors on it, and each color was a different note. And it would come with the sheet music for it was just a series of colors.
Oh.
And I think it existed just to make colorblind children feel inadequate and non-musical. But as I did not suffer from either one of those afflictions, I was all good with it. I have one. Paul gave me one for Christmas on our first year that we were married, not dating, but our first year that we were married.
Me and Liz, when we were first starting to hang out, she mentioned something about how cool slinkies are, so I bought her a slinky.
Nice. Nice.
I love how that's how we suck up to our women, Paul, by buying them toys. That's
nice.
That's
great. Yeah. Well,
it clearly worked for both of you, so I think it's okay.
When I was 12 years old, I had an all-puppet Christmas because I wanted puppets for Christmas. So I got a Mortimer Snurd ventriloquist dummy
nice.
And a Farfel hand puppet.
I was always into hand puppets, never ventriloquist dolls because I tried it and didn't like it. I preferred being behind a wall with doing stuff.
I liked them both. There was an FAO Schwartz in San Francisco, and they had a whole puppet area where they had Pelham puppets, you know, the marionettes from England, and I love those, and hand puppets, and just I liked all sorts of puppets.
I did. I worked marionette puppets for 2.5 years at a place in Dallas for a while, doing like European style up on a bridge where they can't see you or anything. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I enjoyed doing it. It was a good job. And if you're into puppets, you know Folk Manus, that company?
Yeah, I love Folk Manus.
I have a friend who works there now from up in, who lives in San Francisco or did. She designs puppets for them now. And I'm like, awesome! Because I love their puppets.
Easter, a couple of years ago, they came out with all the Joel Chandler Harris characters. Brer Rabbit, Brer Fox, and Brer Bear. He gave them all to me for, and then they took them right off the market. They didn't, you know, maybe... I thought they were too racist or something.
Or they just didn't sell.
Well,
I knew what the hell they were.
Well, they were great. They looked like they didn't look like the Disney version. They looked like the A.B. Frost, you know, the old illustration versions, you know.
But it could also have been just a limited thing, too, limited edition.
Maybe, yeah, yeah. But
I could ask my friend, she'd know.
I actually have some nails. I was thinking about doing a nail trick. You know what I'm talking about when they do this, the nail.
A nail bend?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I didn't want to say it on the thing. I guess everybody knows that magicians bend nails. But
nobody does that. Nobody bends nails.
Well,
I personally don't understand metal bending as a magic trick.
You don't let's talk about that. Why?
Well, I'm talking about like coins and stuff. Like,
forks. That's my favorite.
I'm gonna put a nickel in your hand and it's gonna bend. Why? I don't know. I'm a magician. Duh. Because it's impossible. At that point, you're creating what's called an impossible object. It's like taking a play. It's like giving somebody a playing card that has two faces. Like taking two cards, fusing them together as one. That is in our line of work. It's called an impossible object because it's impossible to create, even though it's not. Whatever. But it's more the scenario surrounding it is what's impossible. But
it's more an unlikely object.
Right. Yeah. True. Yeah. Because technically, if it was impossible, it wouldn't exist.
Right. That's my right. whole point. But anyway.
But that's what magicians have termed it. So yeah, I mean,
I've never heard this term before. That's interesting.
Yeah. Fork and metal bending. My thing with that is I have the same problem I have with that. Same problem I have with everything else. Like, why are you producing doves or playing cards from the air?
Mm-hmm.
What is the purpose of that? Why are you mutilating flatware? What is wrong with you? Now, I actually came up with a reason for this that I've told a couple people and nobody's ever used it. I mean, I've done it sitting around at dinner for friends because people are like, oh my God. I was like, yeah, I know, whatever. So, but the idea is you talk about how the reason we bend forks and stuff like that is because metal is a good conductor of stuff, not mm-hmm. just electricity, but also psychic thought or energy. And mm-hmm. I'm like, that's why we do it with flatware. Why don't we do it with something else? Well, it's because this is a good conductor.
This is metal and it's right here.
And it's conductor. Nobody ever gives a reason why they do it or why they use this prop. That's mm-hmm. been one of my biggest problems with it always. It's like, just give the audience a little bit of truth. You give the audience a little bit of truth, they believe a giant batch of bullshit. They will follow you on the path if you give them one hook that goes, oh, I get that.
Yep.
Right. It's that kind of thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so, I there's a lot of things about magic I don't believe. Like, I don't believe coincidence is magic. I don't believe having you pick a card and then going, I have that card tattooed on my leg. Ha ha ha. It's like, well, it's a tattoo. It's not, obviously. Now, had you showed me your leg first and shown nothing there, then all of a sudden it's there, that's magic.
Okay.
But having it just, oh, I happen to have it printed in permanent ink on this sign. It's like, yeah, obviously you made me pick that card, jerky. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So coincidence to me is not magic unless you disprove it otherwise at mm-hmm. the beginning. And so I just never understood metal bending as a magic thing because you don't see it happen. It's all mental.
Yeah.
So it falls into the category of mentalism, which also isn't magic, really.
True. Yeah.
So,
I think that's really interesting.
What?
It's also not entertaining.
Well, right. Oh. Most of it's... Liz says it's not entertaining, yes. Well, I won't argue with that entirely.
You know what? As one of Max Maven's friends... Inappropriate response.
I think you and I both know Max will admit there are many mentalists and mentalism things that are not.
Absolutely. He's tried them all. And yes. He'll tell you what does and doesn't work. You know what's really interesting about sitting with Max in a restaurant or something, and it's an amazing privilege.
Do people know who Max is?
He hasn't been on yet, but I speak of him.
Oh, that's what I just want to make sure they know who he is.
Yeah, I speak of him often. Max is... irrefutably are right now.
We talked about his computer issues. And
did you know that Max Maven has a laptop and the L key doesn't work? And so he has to copy and paste an L. Right? I said, Maxula, get yourself a laptop.
Good thing his name isn't like Lax Laven. That'd be terrible.
But he went out and bought an iPad instead. And I said, well, at least your L key won't break on that. And if it does, then you better.
Then the whole thing is screwed.
Do you know what you need to do?
You're going
to
be terrible at Fruit Ninja.
There's an autocorrect. What you need to do is go into it and autocorrect any L to a different letter.
Oh, well, where were you when he was buying his iPad? I gave him...
My guess would be Las Vegas.
He needs a Liz. He doesn't need a Misty. Because I was like, go buy yourself an iPad.
You know, he needs an afternoon at the Mac store. They can fix that L for him.
Really. Well, maybe.
Oh, was he working... It was a Mac he had?
I don't know what he's got.
If he did, that would
I'm
explain
guessing, because that's what he has.
Well, all the solutions at the Apple store are buy a new one.
Yeah, that's... people are like, how do you... It's like, I love Macs. You know how you upgrade a Mac? You buy a new one. It's like, oh, that's hilarious. It's true.
My friend
had a really funny joke, I wholeheartedly agree with it. How do you know somebody has an iPhone?
How?
They tell you.
What was the other one? So how do you know somebody used to have an iPhone?
Uh-huh.
They tell you about their Android.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not a fan of the Android at all.
So is there anything else about magic currently? Any trends that you're super fond of that's coming out? Anything that you hate? Anything that you're sick of? Anything that, why is
oh,
that
there's plenty I'm sick of. We'll be here for another couple hours if I go on to that.
Yeah.
What
are you valuing as far as the scene right now?
Well, it depends on which part of the scene you're talking about. The performing scene, the convention scene, the marketing scene.
Let's start with the performing scene.
Right now, the best thing happening to Magic is that Illusionist tour that's going around that has all the high name, high dollar names in there.
I don't want my leg out. You can put your hand on it, but just I don't want my leg out.
I can make you a pair of bloomers.
I would wear them. Can they be black?
They can be any color that fabric can be dyed.
Then the answer is yes.
Well, they can be patterned, too. I mean, they don't have to be a solid color.
Most fabrics at this point are printed. They're not really...
You know what I mean. Yeah. Yeah.
Performing scene in Magic.
Right now, the best thing that's happening for Magic is the Illusionists, which has been going around different countries. It hasn't made it to the U.S. yet, and there's talks of it, but it's supposed to be like 100-person cast, giant, crazy live orchestra. It's old school mixed with a very modern kind of flair, and they've been playing for sold out 3,000, 6,000 people crowds in Mexico, Singapore, and Australia.
Mexico was like 40,000.
It is ridiculous numbers. Right. It is, and it's very positive for Magic because they've got top notch performers in there. Now, of course, you come to Vegas and you've got the typical people, but I'm saying for outside, for your atypical Magic stuff, right now that is really kind of the best thing in the performing scene that's going around. I've heard lots of good things out here about Derek and what's his name's show happening, and I saw bits and pieces of the castle, and I've heard a lot of people are keen on it, and the parts I saw were clever and everything. But I mean, you know, different tastes for different people, obviously. Mm-hmm. But for every good Magic show, you're going to find 10 bad ones everywhere, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that coming up in the next couple months, there is a number of Magic-based movies coming out that will hopefully put Magic in a positive light for at least for a while.
I don't care what Burt Wonderstone does to it. I'm looking forward.
Right. And yeah. But the nice thing about that is Magic will be in the forefront again, which means we're going to see people are going to be pushing for Magic acts again.
Yeah. Well, and also Magic shows will be selling to production companies.
Well, I have some friends. You watch the Wizard Wars thing?
I did.
Right. So that's trying to be sold as a show out.
Where can they find you online?
Me?
Yeah. Well, the Wizard Wars thing. And also, I want you guys to plug your websites again because we haven't this podcast.
Right. Well, my website, opticalillusionist.com or smapdoodah.com, either one.
Can I spell that for?
Nope. They can figure it out.
SMAPPDOODA.
And if you want to know what that word means and why I use it, go to the miscellaneous section. There's a whole story and a video and everything. Back from like 1995, there's a video of me creating the word randomly.
And Liz's website
is Carrying Comfort
Creations.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Carrying Comfort is the book.
I had to rename my company for Etsy because somebody already had that one.
But yeah, carriongcreations.com.
CARRION creation.
Right. Yeah.
And my website is under construction.
Yes.
PaulDini.com.
Coming soon.
Huh?
Well, Jingle Bell's still
thinking
up.
About toast.
Jingle Bell's still up. Mm-hmm. And then, but I'm going to do a overall.
Thinking about toast, should just have a picture of Paul with a little cartoon bubble with a piece of toast.
How quickly can we get that up?
Tonight.
Huh?
Can we get that shot? Can we get that up tonight?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Great, because every day is going to be a different shot of someone thinking about toast.
Nice.
That actually would be possible.
Yeah, okay.
Can you show him how to do that so I don't have to do it?
If you think too weekend? Hard about it, does it turn into a picture of burned toast?
Yes.
No, it's always
when they're
toast.
Angry. And if Q-Bert is thinking about it, it's a piece of toast with a checkerboard on the toast.
And actually, yeah, I could give you a template that would be able to just be able to... And there's a script where we could make it... We're going to start talking about technical stuff here. Sorry, guys. I could make you a script. If you get a whole bunch of photos, it would be a random person every time they refreshes the page.
Yeah, basically, it's going to be an image of a person or a thing and the same balloon with the same three dots and the same piece of toast.
Yeah, no, I could... I've got their script. We can work on that later or tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay.
ThinkingAboutToast.com coming soon.
Thinking about toast.
It'll be up by the time this hits. It's going to be 2 weeks from now. Yes.
Question. How do you tell if you're about to burn rye toast?
Rye toast?
It's on fire.
Rye toast. It's already a brown bread.
I don't eat it, so it's not an answer from me.
I don't know.
The smell? I wonder if there's an art to toasting rye
you know,
bread.
You'll know it's burned. You'll know it's burned when it's gone awry.
Oh.
And you think my dad's jokes are bad.
Shut up. You got something in your teeth.
You got something in your mouth. It's your foot.
Oh!
You got something in your teeth. My fist.
Oh!
And background to bar fights.
And we come full circle, jerk.
Yeah, and you know what? We could probably wrap it up then.
Yep.
Oh, man, you guys. I have loved having you on. Every time you're in town, we're going to put you back
this
on again.
This was terrific.
We did not talk about any theory that I wanted to get to. We didn't talk about any of your magical principles, the development of any of your effects, all these questions I had for you.
Nobody gives a shit about that stuff.
I do.
Well, we can talk about that when the microphone's off.
Yeah. Well, I know. You know, you guys, just really quick before we sign off,
you
I have
shouldn't
to tell
give
you,
away these secrets.
No, it's not
secret. Oh, yeah, they're not secrets.
Wizardry.
No, that's not what I wanted him to give away. The backstory behind some of this stuff and why he made the choices he did is fascinating. And I'll tell you what else was fun and fascinating was sitting. He's got a new effect coming out on the market.
Oh, it is out.
Oh, it is. Okay, yeah. It is out. Three. What am I getting? Am I getting three or a W? What is that? Three new effects. One, two, three.
No, just nine. Just keep going. With
that's
what
actually
saying.
One, two, W in sign language. This one's three. So I'm being a smartass.
That's
one,
a New York three.
what is the name of the effect? Because I know
Shadow
what,
Thief.
Okay.
Originally, it was called Mofo.
Okay, but we've changed. He's changed
I had
it
to
Shadow
it.
Thief.
Not by choice.
Yeah.
That one was so much
and
better.
It's on the market, and we were watching the DVD today. And because he brought it for me today, and I was watching it with him and making him a tone for all of his jokes. And I would just kind of give him a look and he'd go, shut up. And it was so nice watching a magic DVD with the creator and making him account for his script and going, what the what?
What I think, is, like, what I think is funny is you think there was a script. That's what I find hilarious. Yeah. I did a DVD. It was the SpongeBob DVD that you have somewhere, and somebody did a review and said,
it's
"Oh, this
in my office."
Right, and somebody said, "Oh, the script was good," and I'm just giggling, going, oh, "They think it was scripted."
Oh, because you're naturally funny,
yeah.
Especially when you perform. You're very good at directing attention, and you're just really clever.
Yeah.
You know, I try to do this for a living.
Yeah, well, and you do. And you do.
Yeah.
We're going to have to go back to the hotel and pop your ego.
Yeah.
Oh!
Is that code?
No.
Okay. Damn.
Put a pin in it. All right, everybody. Well, I love everybody. I'm so glad you guys are here.
Yes.
Thank you for spending time with us and our listeners.
Anytime.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, now everybody snort like a piggy and we'll go out.
Coin, coin, coin.
I think it's boring.
Let's go out on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Go ninja, go ninja.
Go. Ninja, ninja, rap. That's all I know, thankfully.
I don't know it.
On the half shell of the Heroes 4.
Oh, wow.
Ask for
oh, look at you.
Yeah,
you got a secret hidden past.
Yo, it's the Green Machine. Gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Slamming and jamming to the new swing sound. Yeah, everybody let's move. Vanilla is filled with a new jack groove. Gonna rock and roll the place with the power of the Ninja Turtle bass. Iceman, you know I'm not playing. Devastate the show what the turtles are saying.
Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Go, 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 go. Go, ninja, go, ninja, go. Go, ninja, go, ninja, go.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes Store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter at Radio Rashi or at Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.